Now, on the 15th of March at the Format Festival at Quad at the Chocolate Factory in Derby will be the first appearance on this tour, at least, of something called the Usurp Chance Tour, Cage and Beyond, which I think, rather than me stumbling through trying to explain what it is, it makes perfect sense for Steve Beresford, who's the piano impro expert, and Stuart Lee, who's currently back on TV with Stuart Lee's Comedy Vehicle, to explain what it's all about. Guys, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thanks for having us. Yeah, nice to talk to you. So, Steve, perhaps... Steve, I was speculating about you because we played a new Brian Eno and Carl Hyde record.
Okay.
And I was trying to work out your connections to Brian Eno because I know you worked with David Toop, who was on the Obscure label and has connections with Brian.
Absolutely. Also, the Portsmouth Sinfonia.
Right.
The world's worst orchestra.
Yes, right. I knew there was a connection because I remember the sleeve of that album, which had a conductor's hand. The only thing that would tell you it wasn't a Music for Pleasure album was a fly on the cuff of
that
the conductor.
20 classic rock classics.
That's right. By the Portsmouth Sinfonia.
Yes. It was my, not my revenge, everybody's revenge on songs that they particularly disliked.
Yeah. What were some of the tracks on that? I can't remember.
Oh, God, that Moody Blues one. Nights in White Satin.
Right. Yeah. Really bad orchestra. That's right.
And but that was the third album.
Was it?
Oh, my God, yes.
Right.
There were two on Transatlantic before that.
Right.
And the first one was produced by Brian Eno, and he also played clarinet in it.
Yeah.
Possibly even worse than how I played the trumpet.
Right, okay.
We'd have to argue about that one.
Right, okay.
But Steve's a Zelig-like figure, you know. I mean, if you know your way around avant-garde and experimental music and improvised music, Steve will be on lots of records that everyone knows. But he pops up in the strangest places in popular culture as well, like all over the Vic Reeves album.
Right.
Well, yes.
You're the MD on that.
I was the MD on about three tracks, yes.
Were you on I Remember Punk Rock?
That was, yes, exactly.
I love that. Mr. Buzzcock on My Shoulder.
I
love that song.
It's a good song, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really good. So this is all fascinating backstory, but tell us about indeterminacy.
Indeterminacy.
Indeterminacy. I've got it spelled two different ways here, indeterminacy and indeterminacy.
Ooh,
fine, well, you're right. Carry on. Tell us what it is.
This is how John Cage spells it. Sorry, right. Stuart.
Well, he wouldn't mind. John Cage wouldn't mind if you pronounced it differently.
Right.
No,
okay.
I don't think, from my understanding of his rules.
Indeterminacy.
He wouldn't like that. That's completely
That's slightly offensive. I don't know if it's offensive in America, though.
Right. So tell us what it's all about.
Okay, well, John Cage liked telling stories.
Right.
And he collected 90 of them on, I think, probably cards, and recorded them, him reading these stories, with his longtime partner, musical partner, David Tudor, in another room, playing the inside of a piano and tapes and things like that.
Right.
And all the stories have to be 1 minute long.
And I've got a box here of all the stories on cards.
Right.
There they are, 90 of them.
That's lovely sound.
And some of them are hundreds of words long, and some of them are 10 words long. And all down the side of the card are little notes telling you how many seconds into the story you should be at a particular point in it. And he specifies that you have to read them out in random order, pick them off the pile at random, without trying to interpret them or act them. So I do that while Steve and Tanya Chen improvise around it. And the effect is brilliant, because sometimes it seems, just by chance, that they're trying to sort of interpret what you're doing. Other times it works completely against it, and it obviously... it's literally completely different every time.
Fascinating. And I mean, again, immediately say that, I'm thinking of Brian Eno and Oblique Strategies and the random selection of the card, and let that direct. So when you say that his musical collaborator Steve was in a different room, presumably you do this all on stage together, or is there a divide?
No, that we had thought about that.
Yeah.
But it seems a bit silly, really. So we are on stage together.
But we ignore each other.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Well, look, I've got a clip here, and then it's a minute long, so I guess it's one of the stories. I don't know which one it is, and neither do you two. So maybe to give people a flavour, we should hear this, and then we'll come back to you, okay?
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
At the new school, once I was substituting for Henry Cowell, teaching a class in Oriental music. I had told him I didn't know anything about the subject. He said, "That's all right, just go where the records are, take one out, play it, and then discuss it with the class." Well, I took out the first record. It was an LP of a Buddhist service. It began with a short microtonal chant with sliding tones. and then soon settled down into a single, loud, reiterated percussive beat. This noise continued relentlessly for about 15 minutes with no perceptible variation. A lady got up and screamed and then yelled, "Take it off, I can't bear it any longer, I took it off." A man in the class then said angrily, "Why did you take it off? I was just getting interested."
I've never listened to that. I've never heard it back because I didn't want to be influenced by ever having heard what it sounds like. Have you ever heard it before?
Oh, yeah.
I've tried to avoid.
Mm. Right.
I didn't want to come back to it and try and do it the same as the record.
Or improve it. Or
right.
The opposite.
Sometimes it's really, that's quite a mellow bit. Sometimes it's really kinetic you have to really pitch yourself to try and get through all the noise that's around you and everything.
Well, this is one of the points. Cage made a very strong argument that the music should at times be louder than the voice.
Yeah.
So we're not accompanying Stuart, we're playing simultaneously with Stuart.
Right. Are you listening to him, or are you deliberately not listening to him?
Well, you can't help but listen if he's right.
Well, if you're making more noise than he is, you don't have to listen.
We don't make a lot of noise for a long time.
Right.
But I suspect I was chosen, quite insultingly, by Steve's awareness of my ability to speak in a monotonous voice for a long time without being thrown off by anything that was happening in a room. And it's been used as a resource.
Do you do all 90 one-minute stories each night, or is it a selection? I suppose you could do in one performance 91-minute stories.
We normally do 45 or 60, but we could do more. But I don't think this tour is a double header with the Conspirators of Pleasure.
Yes, tell us about them.
Well, that's interesting because our pieces that we're doing is improvisation with rules, but this is very much freer, isn't it?
Yes, it is, I think. So Polemi Desai, who has put the whole tour together for Usurp Art Gallery, which is this wonderful tiny gallery in West Harrow.
Okay.
She also is an improviser as well as being a video artist and a visual artist, and she's put a band together where she plays a sort of modified sitar.
Right.
With Seth Ayaz, who plays various traditional instruments and also uses Super Collider and computers and things, and Simon Underwood, who's Circuit Bends Toys.
Right, yeah, it sounds fascinating.
You'll remember Simon Underwood from Big Bag and Bristol Things, yeah.
Pop group.
Exactly.
How did John Cage do this as a live performance a lot? He was originally recorded in 1959. Did he do a lot of live performances of this, or indeed any?
He did a lot of reading stories, but I think this particular way of reading stories he only did once, which was for Folkways Records.
Right, okay.
Yeah. I've tried not to find out too much about it, because now I'm tangentially involved with this. People keep telling me things about it, about John Cage's Interminacy, and I quite like the fact that I don't know anything about it. I've read Cage's instructions about how to perform it, but I don't have to bring anything to it other than trying to be largely neutral, which is a huge relief, actually. To be a sort of passenger in this thing that takes care of itself is really great. And I'm very grateful that my wife's let me go off for these dates around the country it sounds like a cliched thing, but it's quite a zen-like feeling to be in the middle of all this stuff happening around you and know that as long as you hang on to the rules, you'll get out the other side.
Well, indeed. And I suppose also it's lovely for you because unlike doing stand-up, you don't have to remember it.
No, I can read it out.
Yeah.
Sometimes it seems, sometimes it comes out very moving, other times it's very funny, other times it's really shocking for people, and you never quite know which way it's going to go, so it's always exciting every night.
And is it a challenge to sort of not play the same things that you've played before, Steve? If you hear the same story, one's natural intuition, you would think, would be to say, what did I do last time? And your brain would direct you that way. Do you have to specifically direct yourself the other way?
Well, you know, it's very interesting. We did two nights in 2010 at St. Leonard's Church in Shoreditch, beautiful church. And the first night, I really enjoyed it. And the second night, I was so bored, and so was Tanya Chen, who's the other person who plays the piano and plays various instruments. For some reason, the second time we played it, we just couldn't get into anything. And then ever since, I've always enjoyed it.
Right.
So, and that's to do with renewing. Obviously, as an improviser, and that's what I do generally, I'm a free improviser. And you do have to find strategies to renew the music and not just repeat yourself. But sometimes you don't repeat yourself by attempting to repeat yourself.
But you'll probably tell me this isn't the case, but it seems to me that mm-hmm. you tip different stuff out of your bags every time onto the table.
That's quite likely, but now I've got photographs of the stuff that I had last time, right. so I could exactly duplicate.
But there always seems to be some toy or something yes. I've not seen before. Right.
Okay. That's it. That yeah. is true. Yes.
We'll talk a little bit more and maybe a little bit about the comedy vehicle as well, and right. I'll give you those dates after we've heard New York Morning. Oh, and New York Morning, talking to Steve Beresford and Stuart Lee about the usurped chance tour, Indeterminacy, the John Cage thing with the music by Steve and the Conspirators of Pleasure. Someone's just sent me an advert here for a carrot sharpener, Stuart and Steve.
Great.
A carrot
Very
sharpener.
Good. Is it an electric one?
No, or? It's like a big pencil sharpener for sharpening carrots.
Well, you can get electric wonderful pencil sharpeners.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Can I just recommend a brilliant book called About How Best to Sharpen Pencils by David Rees, who's an American writer and cartoonist. And he's written a brilliant book, about 200 pages long, about the best way to sharpen a pencil.
Right.
And it's one of the most fantastic books I've ever read, because it goes into such detail about how to sharpen pencils that by the end, you suspect it is the work of someone who is going insane. I think the whole book is an exercise in displacement. He appears to be writing about how to sharpen pencils, but clearly something else is going on. If you can get it on, I don't think it came out here, but if you can find it on the internet, it's fantastic.
If I can recommend to you something back as well, because I am currently wearing Spam flip-flops.
Oh, yeah.
They're yellow and blue. But the great thing about this, Stephen Stewart, is that on the bottom, backwards, is printed the letters to Spam. So when you walk across the Golden Sands, you leave that word behind you repeatedly.
Brilliant.
It's got to be
good. That's a great idea.
Yeah, I thought so. Now then, we'll give the dates out for the tour in a moment, but the comedy vehicle I watched this morning and caught up with it, I was fascinated by the title, Shill Bottle, because I have been to Shill Bottle, Stuart.
Yeah.
And in fact, the Shill Bottle story, which I'll leave people to watch it for themselves, but it does actually expose a truth about humour and perhaps about music as well and repetition, that something is funny and then not funny, but if you keep going, it becomes funnier again.
Do you know what's really weird is I've sort of thought that, and one of the things that is actually in Indeterminacy is the Cage quote about that, where John Cage says, if you do something for a certain amount of time and it seems boring, do it for twice as long. If it's still boring, do it for three times as long. You know, if by the time you get to an hour it's still boring, then it probably is boring. But there is, you know, and Indeterminacy as a piece has that same sort of effect, which I was very grateful to Steve and Tanya for getting me in on it, because I've learnt quite a lot about the elasticity of randomness and repetition and the thin line between fascinating and boring. It's been really, and I think it's probably fed back into what I'm doing in stand-up, being allowed to do stuff with them.
Well, I'll let people find their way to the comedy vehicle. It's great to have you back on, and also great to see Chris Morris on there as well.
We just had another Steve Beresford Zelig moment where Steve was just telling me that in Chris Morris's the day-to-day TV series, he's the piano player in the Nuptication.
Organist,
yeah.
Right.
In the when the prisoner is executed and married at the same time.
Exactly.
Yeah. Ah, okay. All right, yeah. Well, do check out the comedy vehicle as well. I mean, I have to take issue. You kind of do cut mustard, you know.
Oh, thanks a lot.
But anyway, now then, so you can see Steve and Stuart doing this tour. It starts on the 15th of March at Quad in Derby, the 18th of March, CBSO Centre in Birmingham. Cube Cinema on the 22nd of March in Bristol is sold out, so you'll have to nip to the Comedia in Brighton. I know that's not exactly a nip, but they both begin with Bri, so... the 28th of March, that's sold out as well at the Road Wall Suite at the Liverpool Phil. Norwich Arts Centre on the 26th of April and the 8th of May at Rich Mix in London, and 10:15 this Saturday on the telly.
Oh, can I mention something else?
Yeah.
I'm in Brighton on the 27th of March at the Dome doing a night with the musician Nick Pin, with lots of comedians and people from the Incredible String Band and all sorts of stuff. A night for Nick Pin.
Oh, okay. Ryan, okay. So Mike Herron will be knocking around there.
Yeah, he is. Yeah,
great. Okay. Good to talk to you, chaps. A fascinating project.
Thanks a lot.